Sometimes I wonder when Brother Spencer brought up that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he was talking about verse 7 that says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And at that time, I put a big smile on my face. I wonder how many of us smile when we put that offering in the tray for the work of the Lord. It's a great thing to smile, and it's a great thing to be here. And I tell you what, I am so blessed. And more, the older I get, the more I realize it. And so it is important for us all to be thankful to God every day. As we continue in the theme of standing on the promises, I'd like to turn our thoughts to another exceedingly great and precious promise, and that is the plurality of blessings. And so I want you to think about blessings with me for a moment. In the Vine dictionary, we see the words blessed, blessed, blessedness, and blessing. And as a verb, that word is used meaning to speak well of somebody. Luke chapter 1, verse 64, Matthew 21:9, Acts 2:36, we see of people being spoken well of. And when we think of that in the terms of God, it is a term of celebration toward God, acknowledging His greatness and His goodness. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 64, Zacharias, you know, the people wanted to have John the Baptist, the baby, named after Zacharias. And Zacharias said no, and the people came, and his wife, rather, Elizabeth, said, his name is going to be John. And they fought against that. They went to Zacharias, who, if you remember, couldn't speak. And Zacharias asked for a paper and a pen or pencil. And he wrote down, his name is John. And immediately his lips were loosed. And at that time he began to speak, praising God. Isn't that amazing? And that's what it's all about. Of Christ, the multitudes who were set before Him, they were shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna on the highest. Someday maybe we'll all be able to say those words face to face with Jesus. And God sending Jesus into the world, the greatest blessing to man. You notice what it said there in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 36. They're being told, these Jews who had, quote unquote, been a partake in crucifying the Lord. And Peter says to them, you first, God, having raised up Jesus, this your servant, and sent him to bless you in turning you away from, every one of you away from your iniquities. Those are great blessings. And those are the ways that use that word. As an adjective, we use that word. And we think how that's applied to God. Blessed be the God and Father. That's being said by Paul. That's being said by Peter. Over and over and over in the Scriptures. And we see that. And as a noun, we see this word. It means a blessing. It's talking about a thing. You know, we say a noun is a person, place, or thing, but that thing, that blessing, is something that God can bestow upon you, and we can bestow blessings upon others. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 29, it's the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ that was given to us. Paul uses this adjective. Now listen to this. He uses all three. He uses the verb, he uses the adjective, and he uses the noun. In the first one, in this sentence, the blessed be the God, that's that adjective describing God. In the second one, when he says God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us, and that's the verb, that's something that God is describing us as how we are blessed by God. And then he goes on to say, with every spiritual blessing, which is the noun, and that's where we're going to focus today, on those spiritual blessings, those promised blessings from God. And you may feel like you think you're happy. You know, we think of a blessing and I should be happy. And a lot of people feel they're happy, even though they're not being blessed by God. Happiness can be just a state of mind. But the blessings that come from God, they make us happy in a way that this world can't take it away. There's a big difference to being happy because I'm making good money, or happy because I have that boat I've always wanted, or happy because I'm going to go fishing with my son next week. There's all things that make us happy. Happy because I have a good wife. Happy because I have a great home. But those things can all be taken away, can't they? And so you may feel happy right now, but the thing is, if you're not happy in Christ, then that happiness can be removed so quickly. And so before continuing with the blessings of Christ, it's imperative that we lay down a foundation, a solid foundation, so that everyone here understands. We need to understand where we stand in relationship to God, in relationship to His kingdom. Are we inside of Christ, or are we outside of Christ? And believe me, these are important questions, for God has made it abundantly clear that all the blessings are only possible in Christ. You see that up there? They're only possible in Christ. There's no other way to receive those blessings. And so to restate that, we understand that you may feel blessed right now, but it doesn't mean you are. And that blessing could be temporary. And so we want to be able to pick these things up from God. First of all, notice that God, He makes the sun to rise on the good and on the evil. He makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. And the problem is that people who are outside of Christ, they don't understand. Well, hey, you know what? The rain's falling, my crops are growing, I'm blessed. Or the sun's shining on my face today, I feel really good, I'm blessed. But you see, the blessings are in Christ. And so you may receive those things that God gives to every man, but that doesn't mean you're in Christ. Also, we enjoy the sunrise. You receive that advantage of rain, but don't be deceived. The Scripture says there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. That's coming. That's coming for sure. And if you're not in Christ, then you may feel good right now, but all that's going to quickly fade away, very, very quickly in the twinkling of an eye. And you'll stand and before the judgment seat of Christ, and you will, the Scripture says that as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess me. You see that? Every knee will bow to Jesus. Every tongue will confess to God. And that's going to happen. And so the foundation is, am I in Christ or am I not in Christ? And listen, on that day, if you're in Christ, your joy will never fade. It won't fade while you're on this earth. And it doesn't mean we won't have trials and tribulations, but we'll work through those like James told us, counting it all joy. But your joy will never fade. Your blessing, those things that you know to be true, they will be there in eternity on that day. And your joy will become inexpressible. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, Peter said. And though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with inexpressible joy, full of joy and of glory. Listen, it'll never fade. But you need to be in Christ for that to happen. And the question is, as we look upon this, are we in Christ? And I want to go back for just a second and look. See there at the bottom of that screen there, let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. And then we're actually going to talk about Revelation chapter 18. If you remember in Revelation chapter 21, and we can't stress this enough, those blessings in Christ include being in the church. And that's what Revelation 21 is all about, that final time when Jesus delivers the church and they call it the New Jerusalem and it comes down out of heaven. It's the bride of Christ, the church. And equally, I can't stress enough, as you're blessed, if you are in Christ, you'll be in that number. You'll be part of that New Jerusalem. but multiplied if you're not in Christ. The opposite will be multiplied. Instead of receiving the innumerable blessings in Christ, you'll receive more horrors that have to do with eternal hell, separation from God. Remember, the New Jerusalem in verse 20, chapter 21 and verse 2 is the antithesis of what is spoken of in Revelation chapter 18, which is Babylon. It's the antithesis. That means the exact opposite. The New Jerusalem is pictured as coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Babylon represents a lifestyle of all who have not obeyed the gospel. Let's look at chapter 18 there in Revelation. Chapter 18, and I just want to begin in verse 11. We're not going to just read through this, but let's just look and see something here. In verse 11 of chapter 18, it says, "And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls of fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of cinnamon wood, every kind of object, ivory, every kind of object of most precious wool, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense." You're seeing a list of things here. Those things will all be gone. They'll all be taken away. They'll be gone. Look down here to verse 17. "For in one hour, all these things, the riches, the clothing, the adornments, the precious stones, the relationships, for in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster who traveled by ship, sailors, or as many trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of the burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?'" It's going to come to an end. It's going to be destroyed. Everything in this world that makes you happy will be taken away. And so what is the most important point here? Are you willing to do this day what you must do to ensure that you have a place in Christ? Now listen, you have to hear John chapter 6, verse 45. You have to believe in Jesus, John 8 and 24. You have to repent of your sins, Luke 13 and 3. You must confess Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10 and 32. And you must be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And then live faithfully until death, Revelation 2 and 10. There's your plan. Now, if you haven't done this, you really need to listen to this blessing, this lesson on blessings, because a little later on we're going to hear all the great blessings, and you can't sit in the pew and shake your head and go, "Yeah, that's me, that's me." Because what you're receiving is temporary. It's not permanent. I want you to think, God planned from the very beginning of the world to save every soul, to make every soul happy. He wants us to be happy in Christ. He wants us to be blessed. And He wants this for you. And I know this is true because the verb blessing is an additional, it has an additional theme. When you look at the book of Matthew chapter 5, Brother Randy mentioned chapter 5 verse 5 this morning, I believe, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You know what that was? It's a different word. That word means happy. And that's what you'll be in Christ. When Paul said blessed, that God blessed us, Paul, what Paul is saying is his intention is that we prosper spiritually. The key to spiritual prosperity is to obey God. Now look at the Old Testament. Remember, God doesn't change. His plan has been going on since the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 4. What do you see there? Keep the words of this covenant. Keep the words that you may prosper in all that you do. Keep the words of the covenant. That's the key. In the New Testament, we see the same thing. He says in Revelation 22, 14, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. Having the right to the tree of life is being in Christ. It means you are saved. That means that you will be able to partake of that tree in heaven one day. And as we look at this, when we obey, He blesses us with every spiritual blessing. God's intention also is to make us happy spiritually. To be truly happy requires righteous living. John chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. And He says, Beloved, if your heart does not condemn you or us, we have confidence towards God. You see, we know whether we're in Christ or not. We know whether we've obeyed that gospel that we had on the screen a moment ago. We know if we've heard the message. We know if we believe. We know if we've repented. We know if we've confessed Christ. We know if we've been baptized into Christ. And we know if we're living faithful lives. And God wants us to know that. You can't live an unrighteous, sinful life disobeying God and expect to be happy for very long. You won't be able to accept fully the blessings that we're going to talk about. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, Paul said, Romans 14 and 22. Are you seeing this? When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. Physically, spiritually. When you're completing God's commandments, when you're obeying God spiritually, when you're speaking to others about Christ, when you're worshiping in spirit and truth, when you're assembling with the saints for Bible study, when you do everything you can not to miss the assembly, you are going to be blessed and you're going to be happy. And it will be well with your soul. Think that through. And whether the blessings are spiritual or whether the blessings are physical, you will be happy. Now, you've heard the gospel. We just went through that. You heard it. God only wants the best for your soul. He laid this plan out so that you wouldn't have the burden of sin. But the burden of choice is now upon your shoulder. Now for the rest of the lesson, the blessings. Each blessing, we have to ask the question, are you willing to do what you have to be in Christ? So are you ready? Let's talk about the blessings that are in Christ. The first blessing is the blessing of forgiveness, Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1:7. Now look, before Jesus, every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. No one can do that. You can't do that. I can't do that. A person calling themselves a priest or a pope or a bishop or a pastor, a Bible teacher, an evangelist, no one can take away your sins except Jesus. Jesus is our good shepherd. He is the Lamb of God. He leads us to the living water. He's the one that will guide us to that tree of life and everlasting kingdom of God up in heaven. And then God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And Jesus is now our high priest, as Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 20 tells us. He is our high priest forever. Are you willing to do today what you have to do to receive the blessings that are in Christ? You want the forgiveness of sins? It's only found in Christ. The second blessing is grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 7. That the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God offers us grace. And the only way to receive God's grace is in Christ Jesus. And I want you to note something. This passage states grace is found only in Jesus. You know what that does? That eliminates every other religion. It eliminates every other denomination. It eliminates every other way to have grace or forgiveness. Because these blessings are all in Christ Jesus. We read that in our opening text. They're in Christ Jesus. And they're not to be found anywhere else. I want you to think about this with me, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15. Because of that, Christ who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through 5, we have to be strong in the grace of Christ. If you look at that verse with me, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through 5. Let's just glance down through that. Beginning at verse 1, he says, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ." And notice what he goes on to say. "Endure hardship as a good soldier in Christ." We are at war with the devil. We are at war against sin. And we need to endure like good soldiers. We can't entangle ourselves, as the Scripture says here. We can't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. You can't be so caught up with the things you have to do and forget the things God asks you to do. Or the things that God commands you to do. Because the blessings are there when we do His commandments. We must please Him, it says, who we are enlisted soldiers. Our job is to please God. And as we look further down, we must do all things in accordance to His rules. You see that? Verse 5. He is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. What are the rules? The New Testament for us. To follow and keep His commandments for us. Those are the rules. They're easy. They're good for us and good for our souls. The question is, are you willing to obey God? Are you willing to do what you have to do to receive this great blessing? Another one is the blessing of hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 19. What's the Scripture say? It says, if in this life only we have hope, in Christ we are all men most pitiful. But think about that. You know what that is saying? That this life doesn't mean anything. The world that we have, all the riches we have, the glory we may bring upon ourselves, all the accomplishments that we have, they mean nothing if we are not having hope in Christ. If our hope isn't placed in the eternal things, it means nothing. 1 John chapter 3 and at verse 3 teaches us, we're not interested in receiving the things of this world, not the reward of this life. In John 1 and 3 and 3, he tells us, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. That's what we do. Purifying ourselves leads us in the sense of repentance, turning away from sin. We want the prize. We want that crown of life. And we're going to do everything we can. We're going to sanctify ourselves in Christ. We're going to set ourselves apart for the work of the church. We're going to make the work of the church and the brotherhood of the church, that fellowship that we have in Christ, more important than our job, more important than anything in this world. We're going to love Jesus more. And we need to do these things if we want to have that kind of hope that He's eternal. It is God's desire for you. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 29 and in verse 11, or Colossians here, To them God willed to make known what are the riches and the glory of this ministry to the Gentiles, that's us, through Abraham's seed. The Lord Christ is our hope. In Jeremiah, I wanted to get to, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. Now this is God. He knows what He's thinking about you. What does He say? What does He think? That says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. He wants us to have peace. Not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope. God, the Creator. God, the Sustainer. God, the Savior. God, our Father, is sitting in heaven, and He's not up there thinking, well, boy, David disobeyed me today, I'm just going to destroy him. He says, I want hope for you. I want you to have a future with me in heaven. I want you to have peace, not evil. That's our God. But to receive that hope, you have to be willing to do what you have to do to receive this blessing. The next blessing is an inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 11. The Scripture says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to His counsel. 1 Peter chapter 1. What kind of inheritance? Well, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us. He's begotten us as new children, living to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. That's the kind of inheritance. My wife received a part of an inheritance just yesterday in the form of money. Well, not very much, but you know what? It'll be gone. It'll be gone. But the inheritance that Jesus promises us, that God promises us, is an incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's the kind of inheritance I'm looking for. What must I do to receive the inheritance? Colossians 3:24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord. Are you serving God? Will you do that? You know, we cannot stop serving the Lord and expect to receive an inheritance. Ephesians 5:5 tells us that. We can't stop serving the Lord. So are you willing to do what you must do to receive this blessing in Christ? Another spiritual blessing, of course, is the love of Christ. Or the love of God, rather. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 9. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Why is the love of God worth so much? Why is it worth my time? Why is it worth me setting some other things aside to love God and to show my love for Him? Because the love of this world changes with the wind. I remember at a time the old black and white movies when they showed a man, a husband and a wife in some kind of a situation. The husband loved his wife. He endeared his wife. And the wife loved her husband and she took care of him. Just like we're taught in Ephesians. That's the kind of love. But you know what? Over the years today, you watch these movies. Don't watch the movies because it's not love. It's lust. And the world's view of love has changed with the wind of time. But the love of God never changes. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't change. He loved you even while you were yet still in your sins. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. In 1 John, He tells us that this is the love of God. It was manifest towards us that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world. He loves you so much. There is nothing He would not give for you. That's how great the love of God is. Are you willing to do what you must do to receive the love of God in your life? Are you willing to obey Him to receive the blessings that are in Christ? Finally, our last spiritual blessing is life in Christ. Life eternal. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life, you see that, is in His Son. That life is in His Son. The Bible has a lot to say about life on this earth. This life on this earth is temporary. Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27, it's appointed unto all men to die. Life is temporary, and then the judgment. In Psalm chapter, 90, and in verse 10, the psalmist, he says that we're soon cut off and we fly away. That's how short life is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 19, the Apostle Paul tells us that in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are all men most pitiful. We're just pitiable. Because this world doesn't afford us the things we need. It doesn't give us the spiritual food and the good food that we need to be in Christ. It never gives us the right answer. But the Bible has a lot to say about life in Christ. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and the life in Christ is more abundant life. And that life in Christ is eternal life. It never perishes. That life in Christ is eternal life. It's a gift from God. You know, and have you ever gotten something free? You like that, don't you? You like to get a thing in the mail, you know? You want a free car. That'd be nice. Never happened to me, but it would be nice. I've been waiting. I'm 66 years old. I've not got it yet, but I'm waiting. But there's things that it'd be nice to get everything free. We live in a world today where they want everything to be free. We hear about that. Free everything. I'm not going to get political on you, but you know what I'm thinking about. But the gift of God is free. Eternal life is free. It is free. And it's laid up in heaven for you. Colossians 1 and 5. Revelation 2:10, what did he say? Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And this is coming from God who cannot lie. So are you willing to do what you have to do to be in Christ? And we know, because we've already gone through it, what we have to do to receive the blessings. We know that Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Are you willing to obey the gospel of Christ? His plan is simple. You hear, you believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and then live a faithful life. And we don't want to muddy up the waters about what a faithful life is, because a faithful life is found right here in God's Word. The Lord Jesus will bring judgment. We already read that. Every knee will bow to Him. Every tongue will confess God. Now, there are some other blessings. We're not going to be able to get to them, but just look at this. Joy is a promise and a blessing from God. Liberty, a new creation, peace, promise of life, reconciliation with God, redemption from our sins, sanctification, triumph and victory. And there's more. But you know what? Judgment is going to come. I've given you 6 different blessings today that God has promised us, and His exceedingly great and precious promises. 6 different blessings. Not counting the ones that we read and just saw on the last slide. And if you want to partake of those, you must be willing to do what you have to do to be in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, today's the day. Because listen, judgment's going to come upon every soul. And you will hear Him. You know, you can go through life, you can refuse to listen. That's up to you. Or you can listen. That's up to you. And there are people in this world who will refuse the gospel. They refuse to listen to the Word of God. They're not interested. But judgment will come. And listen to me, you will hear. You have no choice at that time. And what are you going to hear? You're going to either hear, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world," or you will hear Him say, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You know, it's entirely up to you. That's the lesson you can do with that. I hope you'll think about it. If you're a Christian, you'll think about your eternal soul and whether or not you're living according to the commandments of God, whether you're actually doing everything that you can do to please Him so that you can receive those blessings, or is your heart condemning you today because of your actions, because of your choices? And if your heart's condemning you, it is a simple thing to fix that. Repent. Come back to the Lord. Confess your sin, and He will restore you once again to that faithful relationship. Open your songbooks to song number 835. If you're not a Christian, there is a fountain free. We talked about the water of life. We talked about that tree of life. And you can be a part of that. Just receive the commandments of God and do what He's commanded. There's a fountain free. It's for you and me. It's for every soul on earth. Are you ready to do what you have to do today to receive those blessings, to receive heaven? If so, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.